It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello, everybody. Hello, Swiggies. Hello, Swifties. And hello, my sister, Rachel. How you doing?
Hey, brother, I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you in, like, it seems like weeks and weeks.
Yeah, I fell down a rabbit hole, and I got lost in it, Rachel.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, we haven't met up to record an episode in quite some time, but here we are again in the middle of the day, and it feels great to see you again. I'm very excited for this episode, Rachel.
You chased Taylor all the way over to Asia.
I did. I was a little too late to catch her in Tokyo by like 2 weeks, but I felt the presence. I do want to tell you something real quick though. So I did go to Japan. That's what you're referencing. I had an amazing trip to Japan.
Amazing. Amazing. But such a flex.
Yeah, I know.
Such
a flex. I just had to plug that. But it's relevant to Taylor. So let me tell you. Before flying to Japan, I went to Seattle first and spent a couple nights in that area. And I stayed with my friend Leanna and her husband Tony. Shout out, Leanna, if you're listening. Hello. Thank you for letting me stay with you. But what was special about that, Rachel, is Leanna lives in the apartment building that is next to and above Lumen Field, where Taylor Swift performed in Seattle back in July. I remember seeing TikToks of the people that live in that apartment building and being so wildly jealous because I haven't yet to see another stadium like this where she performed, where there are apartments like right next to the stadium, except for there in Seattle.
My gosh.
I didn't know Leanna lived in one of these. And so sure enough,
what?
I asked Leanna about it. Leanna did attend the night in Seattle where that earthquake happened.
The earthquake?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Leanna was a part of that. She told me all about the hype that was happening in her neighborhood when Taylor was there. And so I just felt so excited that I mean, it's silly because she was there like, you know, 7 or 8 months ago. This is so long ago in the past, but I was just so excited that I was, in that building that I had watched videos of, that I was like drooling over people's views for. I had no idea when my best friends lived there. So
that's epic.
Very
so
epic.
Did she watch the concerts like the other night from her?
I think she said she went to her rooftop because her view at her windows face a different direction.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, it's literally the building right next to the stadium. And she said that you could go to the rooftop and kind of experience it. She said you couldn't see the stage from the rooftop, but she was like overlooking the field. And so that was really fun. And then, Rachel, just a quick little story. So I went to Japan to go skiing. And we were at this little place at the bottom of the ski hill when I was in Japan. And we discovered that there was this like warm foot bath you can take your ski boots off of and just like soak your feet in that. The Japanese love their like warm hot springs water in the winter.
I love that.
And
so you can
sit there.
Oh, I could use that right now.
I know. You could use it always. And so I'm going to have to share this picture with you. In the moment, my friend took me a picture of me realizing that there was this warm water for your feet. And then suddenly in the background, blank space, Taylor's version pops on.
Of course.
And it was,
of course it did.
It was like it was the only time Taylor played on my Japanese trip. And I didn't even cue it up. It was great. So Taylor was with me in Japan. Taylor was with me in Seattle. Taylor was with me pretty much everywhere I go. But
a little 1989 connection.
I know it, which definitely leads us into today's episodes. But
I know.
But yes,
I know.
Rachel, it's good to be back here with you. I kind of want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the Eras tour. She was in Singapore, and you know, we've congregated since she was in Melbourne and Sydney. We've discussed that, but essentially, all the surprise songs are fantastic. She's still going on with this mashup. Now she's doing for both guitar and piano. We can expect a mashup on each instrument. So essentially, we're getting four surprise songs in one show, and they continue to amaze me. It's really fun to guess what songs not only will she perform, but what she'll mash it up with. Like we did in our last episode, Rachel, we discussed.
Yes.
Like, yeah. So I hope we can continue that tradition. Is after we finish discussing a song, what song would we mash that up with if we were Taylor Swift?
Oh my God, performing? Sam, I forgot all about that.
It's okay, it'll come to you.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. It'll come to me.
But the one thing I really want to mention is her last show in Singapore. This is her last show as she takes this break. In this break, Rachel, it's what, 3 months long, two-ish months long, something like that. And we get, of course, a brand new album. Which we're just about a month away from, Rachel. We gotta really get ready for that.
Oh my God.
But the songs she performed on that last night were the same songs that she performed on the very first night of the Eras tour, night one in Glendale, Arizona, which was just about exactly a year ago, Rachel. So I just think it's fitting that she chose Tim McGraw and Mirrorball to wrap up that last show. And I think it's, for her, maybe the end of a chapter. And we don't know what we're going to get after Tortured Poets is released with the Eras tour. It's possible that she, you know, has a new set. We don't know if she's just going to sing the surprise songs. But I just feel like what she did with Tim McGraw and Mirrorball at the last night of Singapore has something to do with the signification of the first chapter of the Eras tour is over, right? And she bookended it with those songs. What do you think?
It's amazing. I love it so much. I already talked about this in the last episode, but I really, really love this idea of taking a song from the past, a story from the past, and linking it to a song from the future ahead, and trying to help you make sense of what of your life. And I love it. I'm excited to see. There's just so many unknowns. There's so many things to figure out.
Yes.
Watching chats and reacts like far too much. I'm like, I want to know.
It's so exciting. It's hard not to. Rachel, random shift, but did you watch the Oscars last night?
I sure did.
Did you catch the moment where Emma Stone won for Best Actress and gave a little speech?
I sure did.
Did you catch the moment where she was thanking her daughter, who is bigger than her whole sky?
Bigger than the whole sky.
And most importantly, my daughter, who's going to be 3 in 3 days and has turned our lives technicolor. I love you bigger than the whole sky, my girl. So thank you so much.
And we know that Emma Stone and Taylor are good friends, and I
know. I wish that the orchestra had played like "When Emma Falls in Love" as like the background music.
I know, that would have been excellent. Before we really get into the song that we will discuss today, Rachel, I just want to give ourselves a little plug for the podcast. If you're not already doing so, Swiggies, please give us a follow at Swift and Swigs Podcast on our Instagram and our TikTok, where you can catch videos of Rachel and I concocting these fun cocktails for you. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we'd really love it if you guys could leave us a positive 5-star review and a rating. And then if so, we will read it on air. And it's a lot of fun for us to do that. If you guys have a recommendation for a song you think we should cover, or new shit you think we would be into musically, then please send us an email at swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. And last but certainly not least, follow along on our show notes, which is www.swiftandswigspod.substack.com, where we link all of the discussions that we share on this episode, including cocktail recipes, links to random eclectic videos we talk about, songs, lyrics, etc., etc. So do follow along there. And Rachel, without further ado, I'm ready to get into some new shit with you this week. I'm doing good, I'm on some new shit. Are you doing good and on some new shit?
Yes, I have been on, I've been on a lot of new shit. This was really hard for me.
You know, me too.
Decide. I'm going in a different direction because I really wanted to give a shout out to this artist because she's a young artist that I feel like is only going to grow, and I see so much connection between her and Taylor Swift. So this artist, her name is Tish Melton. She's 18, only 18. And she is the daughter of Glennon Doyle, who is a writer and podcaster. And I have followed her for years and years and years and years, long enough to have known her daughter, Tish, you know, as an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old who was just picking up her guitar. And during the pandemic, she really got more into like learning how to play the guitar. Glennon is also good friends with Brandi Carlile. Long story short, Brandi worked with her to create her first EP that just came out last week. And the music is, it's really incredible. The songwriting is incredible. I listened to a podcast between Tish and her mom and Brandi talking about the production and process, talking about the songwriting process. And it was so inspiring as a creative person myself. And what Brandi just kept saying was that Tish has, Tish and a lot of other young artists like Boy Genius and Gracie Abrams have this way of writing where their world is small and writing about the small picture and not trying to write, like being a 17-year-old and not trying to write about this like really mature love, but writing about their immediate life, right then and there. Tish writes a song about driving in her car and then needing to pull over because she's thinking about what it's like to grow up and remembering sitting in the back seat and now she's in the front seat. And like, it was just this small moment and she wrote it. She literally pulled her car over. She wrote the words down. And then she said she didn't really change the words at all because it was exactly like immediately from her heart. Mm-hmm. That song is called Long Drive. And it's good, so pack your bags. It's a long drive, it's a drag. And I could go anywhere, but I want to go back there. It's one of my favorites on the album, but there's a bunch of other ones on this EP that she has that is really great. And I just want to support. I'm just excited to see where Tish goes in her musical career. And it's kind of fun to be a part of the early stages of it.
Well, I love it. Great new shit, Rach.
All right. What about you? What's the new shit you got?
I, too, chose music that came out within this last week. There were, like you said, there were a couple good new albums that have been released very recently. And I went to one of my favorite pop girlies. That would be Ariana Grande's new album.
I was hoping you would bring that up. I haven't listened at all.
It's good. It's definitely good.
I haven't got a chance to jump in yet. It's good stuff.
Yeah, so she recently went through a divorce. And so in a way, it's sort of like a divorce album. But she definitely doesn't sound extremely sad or heartbroken in this album. It's more, I think, she's just questioning where to go next. A lot of it sounds like 90s pop. It's almost like TLC and Madonna got together and Whitney Houston got together and made an album in 2024. That's sort of what it sounds like.
Okay. Love it. Love that.
And one particular song I want to bring up is called Supernatural. Produced by Max Martin. Hello.
Hello, Max.
My fave.
You love a Max.
Good old Maxi Pad.
Maxi Pad.
Sorry, that's what I called my buddy in college, whose name was Max. I don't know if Max Martin deserves to be called that. The one thing that I kind of wish she had done more on this album is showcase her vocals, which, I mean, she's got, to me, I think the best voice in the industry. And I know that's a heavy thing to say, but
it is.
She really has a range unlike any other right now. And her vocal control is astounding and just, it's just beautiful. And you don't get a lot of like vocal shining moments in this album like we get in previous works of hers. It's just almost kind of more subdued. And perhaps that's just a reflection of where she's at in her life emotionally, perhaps. But
the
album is called Eternal Sunshine, and I recommend you check it out. So, Rachel, now that we've got the new shit out of the way, let's talk about some older shit, which would be a track from Taylor Swift's album 1989. The song I've chosen for today is Wonderland. I chose this song for a few reasons, Rach. One of which being, I just love it. It's been my favorite of the deluxe songs that we got on the original 1989. I love the production behind it, and I love its literary references. So that's a, you know, one general reason why. But why did I choose it for this particular week, Rachel?
Yeah, I want to know that.
So it has to do with the cocktail. That I chose. I've had the cocktail in mind for this song since we came up with the concept for our podcast, Rachel.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So you and I are recording this the week of St. Patrick's Day. And every St. Patrick's Day at my job at the distillery, I make a cocktail that is my most favorite cocktail that I've ever created. And it's about everything green. And because I'm making that this week for work, I've thought that that cocktail would go really well with a particular lyric in this song. So I just always knew if and when we discussed Wonderland, I would make this particular cocktail. And it's a St. Patty's cocktail. So that's why, Rachel, I wanted to choose Wonderland for this week.
I love it.
That being said, should we get into the cocktails, I would imagine?
Yes! Then you better tell me about your cocktail.
My cocktail is called Flash Your Green Eyes. Now, that's not what I call it when I make it at work, but that is the name I'm giving it for this podcast, Rachel. This may sound intriguing and strange, but everything that goes into this is green, with the number one ingredient being avocado. You know, I've made this drink for years now, and it always catches people off guard, and they're really hesitant to try a cocktail with avocado. And I just say the same thing, just trust me on it. And it is so great. But here's what else is going on. So we've got the green avocado. There's lime juice. There's cilantro. There's pistachio bitters. All of those things are green, correct?
Wow.
There's also jalapeno. Wow. Okay. Forgot to mention the jalapeno. Okay. So we've got five green ingredients. And then I use blue corn whiskey, which is not green, but the blue corn grew on a green stalk. So
yeah, and blue plus yellow corn is green.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, totally. The reason I use blue corn whiskey is I've talked about this in recent episodes, but our blue corn whiskey that we distill is very buttery, and the buttery pairs really well with the avocado. So you get an avocado, it's got to be very ripe, and you want to mash it pretty well with either a muddler or the back of your spoon so that it's already kind of broken up into your shaker. And then what I like to do is blend jalapenos with lime juice and cilantro. So you have this essentially like a slurry, almost like a salsa of just jalapeno, cilantro, and lime juice. And you add a spoonful or two of that into your shaker with some pistachio bitters. And, oh, I didn't mention this originally, but there is some simple syrup in here. And then your blue corn whiskey. So altogether, Rachel, and then I'm going to pull it into frame and kind of show you. It ends up just being a very green cocktail, and something about all those ingredients coming together is just buttery. It's refreshing from the lime juice. It's got a creaminess from the avocado and a nice herbalness from the cilantro. And then the pistachio just adds a nice little nuttiness as well. And it's one of my favorite cocktails of all time. For this episode, we're calling it Flash Your Green Eyes.
I love it. You know what else is green? Is the lyric video starts off in this like green field with flowers. And I almost did a green cocktail because of that. All right.
That's your turn, Rach.
My turn. Okay. So I have a cocktail that I've been wanting to make, and I was so excited about it, and I feel like it fit really well with this song. But truth be told, I have not tried it. So this is going – because I'm going to make it because I have all the ingredients, but I am not feeling great today, and
yeah,
a cocktail was not going to serve me well.
Yeah.
So
stay hydrated.
I am. But what I wanted to make is I was looking for something. I wanted the idea of just like falling – I wanted a cocktail that you really had to like fall deep into to like as if to go down a rabbit hole, like curious, like where what's at the bottom of this glass? Okay. So there's this thing called and this is even better because this it's technically a dessert. It's called syllabub. I think that's how you pronounce it.
That's funny.
And it's British. It's a British beverage, dessert beverage, something. Okay. Where you basically whip wine, sugar, and cream.
Interesting.
Like a whole bunch of cream.
Okay.
And it's done, like that's the general base. And then I wanted to, I don't know, Alice in what, like the Wonderland, Alice in Wonderland, you know, being, again, I went with it feels appropriate because it's British because of the author. This is a British written author book of Alice in Wonderland. And I liked that idea. This felt like something that Alice would have discovered on the table in Wonderland, like with a sign that says eat me or drink me, because I don't know. Do we eat this? Do we drink this? I don't know. So basically what happens is after you blend, like whip it up, and it's nice and creamy, you fill it in a glass and you let it rest for at least an hour, up to 24 hours. And the wine and the cream separate. So there's like a whole bunch of this whipped cream and just a little bit of the sweetened wine. I'm adding some strawberry jam too to give it like an interesting flavor beyond just the wine. And so you have to dig deep. You have to fall in. You have to have a curious mind about what might be in there. So I'm calling this cocktail, What Becomes of Curious Wines.
Oh, good. Good. Now, you haven't actually made this yet, so you don't really know how it's going to taste.
I can't tell you. I know. It's right. It sounds interesting.
This mind is curious.
I'm still curious. I'm still curious about this curious wine. I will report back and let you know because I'm going to make it. I have to make it. It sounds so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And
until we get to
until then,
you actually drinking that celebub, clink clink your Stanley cup of water with my green cocktail, Rach.
Yeah. All right. This is the point of the episode where we start to break down the spirit of the song that we have chosen. We get into the musical mixology of the song, and we will get into some really interesting twisting lyrics.
Yes.
And there's some literal twisting that happens in this song.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start with you, Sam. What do you think is the spirit of Wonderland?
Another reason that I chose this song, Rachel, I failed to mention, is that I've never fathomed this song, and I just really want to sit down with you and try to understand it. So, you know, with the little bit of research I did, you know, leading into this episode with you, I came up with the spirit being that the song is a story about a relationship that was toxic, but intoxicating for Taylor. she basically sings about falling into a relationship with someone that carried some dangers, but she couldn't resist falling down that rabbit hole to see where it would lead. And the song is the story about that. And what she does in this song is she connects the story with Alice in Wonderland, the famous story written by Lewis Carroll in what, the 19th century, I want to say, the late 1800s, perhaps. I don't really know, mm-hmm. but she pulls in so many lyrical references from Alice in Wonderland. You know, in a way, it reminds me of Love Story, how she did that with Romeo and Juliet. This time it's Alice in Wonderland. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the spirit?
In the end, the song is about so much more than just this like lovely wonderland of a story.
Mm-hmm. It's almost the opposite.
It definitely gives very similar of this, the entire 1989 album with Wildest Dreams, of these like, mm-hmm. this dreamy relationship that we know is crazy, but we're going to do it anyway. I Know Places, of like running away and trying to be secret. Out of the Woods, that like the anxiety, that driven love that we have. So it definitely falls into those, all those categories.
And I'm going to add a little bit of style and slut on top of that as well.
Rachel. Oh, sure.
You know, absolutely. And obviously it's going to remind us of that because those are all about a particular person. And I guess it's a good time to bring it up.
Okay. So that's where I wanted to go, because I think the biggest conversation that happens around this song that I didn't know about until I'm like learning it is this about Harry Styles and the way that many of those other songs that I mentioned are, and a lot of songs in 1989, or is this something else? Is this queer coded?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. there is definitely a lot of connection to a woman that Taylor has been connected to.
Yes.
Diana Agron. Agron.
I was a total Gleek, so I was a huge fan of Diana Agron, who of course started in Glee, but was close with Taylor during the era that she was writing 1989. And you know, there have been speculations about that friendship, and there's been long conversations about Taylor Swift and her sexuality, and, you know, has she been with women? Is she attracted to women? Is she bi? Is she gay? Is she straight? That's been a conversation for a long time, but yes, there are ties in this song that, you know, could easily connect to her relationship with Diana Agron. Perhaps a relationship with Karlie Kloss as well, but also very much about her relationship with Harry Styles. And it could be a song that Taylor wrote about all three, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's actually the whole point of 1989 in general, is that was an era where she was exploring love and exploring who she was and being curious and following that. And if there is, you know, I think that we haven't gotten into New Romantics, but even that song itself is about like, we're the New Romantics. This is how we do love. We know that this isn't forever. Like, we're just exploring this, and we need to allow that to be available without needing to label Taylor Swift, like her sexuality, like allowing her. I think it's perfectly fine to be able to explore this song based on, could this have been about a close relationship with another woman that she was curious about? Sure, absolutely. Does that mean that, like, are we labeling Taylor as now she's bi or now she's
mm-hmm. right?
She's gay. She's queer. She's we don't whatever. Need to, do we? Like, mm-hmm. we don't need to. And I think that's the whole point of the song, is that like, they were exploring, they were falling into a hole to kind of see where that was going. And maybe it ended up not being a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why people are connecting Diana Agron with this song is that she has a fascination with Alice in Wonderland. She has a tattoo, or had, sounds like maybe she's had it removed.
Interesting.
She had a Tumblr called down the rabbit hole. Like, she is, she's been outwardly like obsessed with Alice in Wonderland. And we know how Taylor Swift writes her music. She connects these literary themes to make sense of something and almost to communicate to her fans.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. A lot of people found it really interesting that, like, it's a, that's a pretty big thing to, like, admit and connect and then not put it on the main album. But I get the feeling that that was a very, very vulnerable place for her. And she was only safe enough to talk about it. She when things are really, really vulnerable, she is only safe, feels safe enough to talk about it through music.
Yeah.
And that was just maybe a gentle way of saying, like, I was curious. And this is how I explored that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And, you know, I mentioned this, Rachel, but I love this song because of those lyrics, but I love how it sounds. I love how it makes me feel. And so I'd love to get into musical mixology with you real quick.
Yes, let's do it.
First off, I'm just going to start off by pointing out who co-wrote and produced this song, Rachel.
Oh, who could it be?
Drink Every Time, Rachel. This is a Max Martin and Shellback song. And the music is interesting. You kind of hinted at this, but it has a twinkly beginning to it. Which I think is done just through the use of a piano and like two or three notes on the piano going back and forth. But it does have a twinkliness to it. It's upbeat and positive sounding with the chords that are being used. But then the music changes when we get to this pre-chorus. You get these loud drums that kick in, and I feel like it adds to the anxiety and intensity that Taylor wants you to feel as she sort of twists the lyrics and gives you a little bit more of the story at this part of the song. Didn't they tell us don't rush into things? Didn't you flash your green eyes at me? Haven't you heard what becomes of curious minds? So it's a really great way that she uses musical change to convey a feeling that the lyrics are also telling. And then when she sings the chorus, "We found Wonderland, you and I got lost in it," the production sort of drops out. Those drums drop out, and she's singing about this concept of being in Wonderland with somebody without heavy production. We found Wonderland, you and I got lost in it, and we pretended it could last forever. And then the post-chorus hits, and it's like, the intensity picks up again. You get those loud beats. Like, it's really heavy production all of a sudden when she's repeating A, A. But then when she sings that part, Wonderland, she sings it in such an exclamatory way, like in a very exciting and thrilling Wonderland. And so all of this to say, this song just goes back and forth between the excitement, the intensity, the anxiety, the wonderfulness of it all. And that certainly was intentional to add to the feeling that Taylor was feeling when she was, you know, expressing herself through the song.
Yes, I get that. There's just this like intensity that happens paired with a quietness, but like that is the feeling of Alice in Wonderland anyway, is that like, what is going on here? I have no idea. Like, it adds to the anxiety of like, there's intensity and then there's this softness, but it's not going to stay there. And it like goes back and forth. And I think that music, that the way that the music does that plays to the story, plays to her feelings of anxiety. We don't get, Taylor does not talk about this song a lot. Like, we've heard her talk a lot about Out of the Woods or, you know, Style, like giving out a lot of how she wanted the song to sound like how she felt, but she has not talked a lot about. Another reason why I think this must be something a little bit more personal to her that she's afraid to talk about. She's afraid of the questions that might come from it.
Yeah.
But because we know about the ways that she wanted to use anxiety through, like, communicate anxiety through music, it does give that feeling.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, so we've gotten into the spirit, we've gotten into the musical mixology, Rachel. What's left for us to discuss are these lyrics and the twisting that Taylor does with these words and the story that she is trying to tell us. So, without further ado, let's get in and start reading the very first verse. She starts off by singing, "Flashing lights, and we took a wrong turn, and we fell down a rabbit hole. You held on tight to me, 'cause nothing's as it seems, and spinning out of control." So by starting out the song singing flashing lights, I immediately think of her celebrity status. And of course, you know, the people that we've talked about, Harry Styles, Diana Agron, Karlie Kloss, they're all celebrities just like Taylor. But this song, the lyrics in this part of the song, to me, really connect with I Know Places, which is about running from paparazzi. And a little bit in Slut, too. And in Slut, yeah, she sort of leans into that. But in this song, I feel like there's these flashing lights and we took a wrong turn, which suggests that they were running from it. And they were trying to find these places that she knew, but they took a wrong turn. And I think that could be literal, but this whole song is basically a metaphor, I think. So... maybe she took a wrong turn in that she was falling for a woman and that was a new and weird experience and she felt maybe it was wrong. I don't know, but I just think that she's suggesting that something was not right.
Yeah. I guess I get wrong turn meaning she didn't, it was a surprise. Like she didn't expect it. This is like different from some of her relationships where she is almost like, I have feelings for that guy. I really like him. I really like him. I really like him. This felt like the love, the relationship surprised her. Like she took and there was flashing lights and almost blinded her to like, and she didn't know where she was until they like fell down in this rabbit hole and like in Alice in Wonderland, like, oh, this is not what I thought it would be. So that wrong turn doesn't even mean that it's wrong. It just wasn't what she thought she was going to do.
Right.
And I know that's taking us a little bit away from Harry Styles.
Well, I think we're going to do that when discussing this, because I'm not entirely convinced it's any of these one people. You know, there's a lot of Harry references for me. So I'm going to lean probably more on the Harry references than anything else.
All right. I'll carry the Diana angle. Okay. There's too much connection there for me.
Yeah, maybe you say the same
thing about Harry Styles. So, right.
So, you held on tight to me because nothing's as it seems and spinning out of control. Like, the relationship is spinning and spiraling as they're falling down this rabbit hole. But they're holding on tight to her as if to say, I've got you.
You held on tight to me sounds like they were scared of where it was going. Like the other person that she's singing about was like, was scared. And so I don't know. But I just, even the words itself, you know, you can picture the Alice in Wonderland tumble. Like you can picture that spinning out of control. Nothing is as it seems. Like it's just such a great imagery.
Yeah, isn't it? In like the original Alice in Wonderland movie. Isn't she like spiraling as she's falling down the rabbit hole too?
Yeah. I mean, it gets like kind of like swirly whirly, like, yeah.
It's interesting that Taylor was so inspired by Alice in Wonderland to describe it. Like, I wonder if she had thought of Alice in Wonderland at one point and thought, I would love to write a song about what that's like. I wonder if this relationship that she's singing about to her just felt like Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's a chicken and egg scenario. What came first? Did she think to herself, you know, maybe she watched Alice in Wonderland or she was reading it and she's like, I wonder what that would be like to write a song about that. And then when this relationship happened, she's like, oh, this could work.
Yes.
Or if she was in that relationship and she's like, gosh, this reminds me of Alice in Wonderland sort of thing. I don't know.
Or she was in a relationship with this person and is like, oh my God, I love this movie so much. Yes. I love this story so much. And she's like, oh, I haven't given much thought. And then she's reading it. And the way that that woman's mind works is like, this could make such a great metaphor. Mm-hmm. Someday I'm going to write about this. As a writer, I do this kinds of thing drives my crazy. Like, I'm constantly thinking of metaphors while I'm literally experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that she was doing. Like, she latched onto it, and then one thing after another sounded like that. Like, she could just, like, made sense of it more and more.
We get the pre-chorus, which is such a fun part of this song. So, you know,
it's really adding to the intensity we're building towards.
And the pre-chorus is her asking these questions. And I think they're somewhat rhetorical, but I want to know what you think.
Yes.
Didn't they tell us don't rush into things? Didn't you flash your green eyes at me? Cheers.
Cheers.
Haven't you heard what becomes of curious minds? Cheers.
Also cheers. Yours. Didn't realize ours were right after each other.
That's fun. Oh, didn't it all seem new and exciting? I felt your arms twisting around me. I should have slept with one eye open at night. And then she goes into the chorus. So breaking down that, I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like these are rhetorical questions. Like, it almost feels like the questions are her trying to confirm what happened. Didn't they tell us not to rush into things? And wasn't it you that flashed your green eyes at me? And, you know, I've got to linger on that lyric, because there's a lot of depth to that. Number one, Rachel, both Harry Styles and Diana Agron have green eyes.
Convenient.
You know who else has green eyes? Is Karlie Kloss.
Uh-huh.
You know who else has green eyes, Rachel?
John Mayer
does. And that's all I'm gonna say about John Mayer. I just find that interesting.
I think we've had enough of John Mayer for a little while.
And then, you know who else has green eyes? Is the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, which comes up a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna get into that later, but there's all these references with characters with green eyes, and you're team Diana, I'm team Harry, both of whom have green eyes. And, you know, I saw discussion that didn't you flash your green eyes at me was their way of, like, signaling Taylor to come in. Like, you flashed your green eyes and how could I say no? But also green represents, like, go.
Yes.
And, you know, like, the sign that everything is okay and you can go ahead. But it's just so curious, isn't it, that she forms it into a question. Didn't you, like, I'm thinking in my head, is she replaying this in her mind, trying to remember it? Or is she almost, like, confronting this person in an almost aggressive way? Like, didn't you do that? Wasn't it you that kind of started this?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like she's just processing everything by forming into questions.
Processing. How did we even get into this in the first place? Like, what happens? Was it because I was curious? Was it because we were just, like, rushing into things and not thinking clearly? Was it because you flashed those green eyes and I, like, couldn't take my eyes away from you? Like you lured me in. Was it because it was new? It was exciting. Like, what was the beginning? It's her trying to understand what is the beginning.
How they got to this point.
Yeah. Right? I felt your arms twisting around me. I should have slept with one eye open at night. So this is the point where, like I said before, it sounded like, oh, the person she's singing about is, like, holding on to her because she's afraid. But then now this feels like they're restricting her, like, twisting around her. But I was also thinking about how she talks about, like, twisting in the bed sheets, and, like, that's kind of a,
so that's interesting that you're associating twisting your arms as kind of like a romantic thing, and I hadn't thought of that.
It could be, but then the next line, I should have slept with one eye open at night, it gives anxiety.
Yeah, it's this anxiety. And again, it's like, I can't get an understanding of what it was that made her feel that way about this relationship, because the song is just sort of talking about how she fell into it and things weren't quite great, but we never really get an understanding of why.
Yeah,
but we get these clues, like, I should have slept with one eye opened.
See, I don't get the feeling that it wasn't great. I get the feeling that she realized that it wasn't going to work.
Then why would she say, I should have slept with one eye open? Because that means you should have been prepared to fight for something that was coming to destroy, I feel.
Is it about media? Is it about the media that's like, see, because I feel like later on we get more like they were, first it was whispers, then it was talking, turned to screams, like that people were talking about us. And I didn't want that. I didn't want it to be about what we're doing right now, which is this about like our Diana and Taylor in a relationship? Like that she didn't want that. She just wanted to be in Wonderland. She just wanted to follow that curious thing. And instead, it wasn't what she thought it was. It wasn't Wonderland and beautiful and magical and flowery. There was something scary that was going on there that she didn't quite understand, but it wasn't the person.
Right. And that's what I'm struggling to understand is what was scary. What was that thing?
Yeah, I don't get the feeling it was the relationship. I get the feeling it was like what other people thought of the relationship or how like how they couldn't be public with their relationship.
Yeah. Well, that's all we know about that. So,
okay, let's keep going. We got the
chorus.
We found Wonderland. You and I got lost in it. And we pretended it could last forever. Umbrella.
Maybe that'd be a good mashup with the song.
We found Wonderland. You and I got lost in it. And life was never worse, but never better. Okay, that line, it was never worse, but never better, is like so complicated to wrap my head around. But like, it's like, it was the best of times, the worst of crimes. Like it's like kind of giving that to me. Like, it was so hard. Life was never worse than this. Like it was never better. It was also amazing.
Yeah. And it just leans into the concept of that anxiety, because there was just so much unknown about what would happen and where it was going to go. And like Taylor was probably wrestling with, do I let myself go into this? Mm-hmm. Like, do I just fall down this rabbit hole? And here I am into Wonderland, and you know, it's sad and beautiful and tragic all at the same time, sort of thing. I want to linger on, we pretended it could last forever is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because it gives the impression that they knew it wouldn't last, but they pretended that it would. Like they knew that this would not be, you know, and that to me is very much giving Harry Styles, because, you know, I can't think of when, but I feel like she's talked about how with that relationship, it felt like it couldn't last forever. And she sort of just felt like she knew that going into it, but that they pretended that it could, because that's what felt right in the moment. She didn't believe it would last forever. She pretended.
Right. Which would. I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with pretending that, like, living for the hope of it all, right? This could be, they fell into Wonderland, they got lost in it, and it was what it was then.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get into another verse. So we went on our way, too in love to think straight. Interesting.
Rachel just gave some side eye with that one.
That's a very, I mean, sure, it's a turn of phrase, like I can't think straight.
To think straight is a turn of phrase, you're right,
but loves the twisting of turn of phrases.
She does, doesn't she? And she sings, we were too in love to think straight, as in to say we were too in love to think heterosexual.
Yeah, to be
straight. And yeah, that's really cute to think, you know. And if that's the case, like if she was in love but she felt, you know, at the end that it couldn't work, that is a quite sad thing.
I know.
She's using the L word here. In love.
Yeah. You know,
it's a powerful feeling.
And we were too in love to think straight.
Mm-hmm.
We went on our way too in love to think straight. So like this was mutual. Like this was a shared thing. All alone, or so it seemed. And this is when I feel like we're getting in the conversations of maybe how the media started twisting the story and just soured it for them,
for her. For
now, was the media really talking about her and Diana during this time? Or was it not really until, like, later that the, you know, the speculations came about?
You mean after the song came out? There were conversations about her girl squad all the time.
There were. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
There, you know, they were photographed a lot. Mm-hmm. And then there were, I think it was when the song came out that it was, like, published. It was, like, confirmed, like, oh, we all know, like, Diana Aragon has a thing for Alice in Wonderland, and here's this song, and blah, 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 and must be connected. They must have had a relationship. And then Diana, like, deleted her Tumblr that very same day. So, and she had been asked a lot, like, oh, we hear you were connected with Taylor. And she's like, oh, it's so funny. They will say, like, everyone seems to love to tie me to people. But she just, like, she never really addressed it altogether. She just kind of, like, skirted around it all the time.
Yeah.
But so all alone, or so it seemed, but there were strangers watching. And so that's like why I feel like strangers, it wasn't like there were others watching. It was like strangers, which would be like people that are not a part of this, like people we don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whispers turned to talking, talking turned to screams. That's like, that's, you know, these rumors just like escalated.
And I also feel like the talking turned to screams represents her screams. Like, all the whispers that turned to talking that they were all doing resulted in her and her, you know, whoever's screams. Like, it just, they couldn't take it at that point. Thus, they were screaming. And, you know, we get a little scream in this part of the song, too.
And talking's turned to screams.
Oh! She's feeling the intensity of it. Yeah. We get the same pre-chorus, didn't they tell us?
We do not get the same pre-chorus.
Okay. First two lines, didn't they tell us, don't rush into things, didn't you flash your green eyes at me? Here's where it's different. Didn't you calm my fears with a Cheshire Cat smile?
Mm. So here's what we know about the Cheshire Cat in the story, yes, Alice in Wonderland. It was a cunning and mischievous, yet charming and alluring character with a smile that was as big as it, as bigger than the whole sky, basically. It was a very big part of this character. And the cat represented almost like the devil on a shoulder in a way. I don't know if that's actually very true because I'm foggy with the story, but that's how I see the Cheshire Cat in my mind. It was just kind of like a little tricksy in a way. Apparently Harry is from Cheshire, England.
Yeah.
So that's a funny thing. The Cheshire Cat has green eyes. And, you know, that smile, it just feels very untrustworthy. And it's interesting that Taylor sings, "You calmed my fears with that Cheshire Cat smile." Like it's a ruse. Like there's something behind that smile that shouldn't be trusted.
Didn't you call my fears with the Cheshire Cat smile? Ooh.
The Cheshire Cat isn't a notoriously positive character in the story.
Right. But at first, Alice doesn't know that. Like at first, it's just a cat that's smiling. We know what the Cheshire Cat is because we know the story. We know that he is devious and cunning. But the first time you experience that smile, it's meant to calm your fears. So it's almost like a way of saying, like, the smile is what calmed my fears. But if I labeled a Cheshire Cat smile, then you know that actually, like, that person was being devious. Like, you know what happens later. Like foreshadowing, if you will. So without, like, in so many, in very, very, very few words, we get this, like, I was calmed, but this is going to turn on me.
Yeah, which again just adds to the anxiety of it all, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does.
Yeah, it's so brilliant. And then another little twist in this pre-chorus before we get the second chorus is, I felt your arms twisting around me. It's all fun and games till somebody loses their mind. Interesting.
Yeah.
Who lost their mind?
I don't know.
Was it her or was it Diana or was it Harry or?
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea that it's she's saying she's losing her mind because she now isn't sure what to trust. Like she's something happened that she was scared and she wasn't sure. She doesn't even know how to trust love herself, like, and that was causing her to lose her mind.
And can't you connect that line with the Mad Hatter too, who had lost his mind at some point in the story of Alice in Wonderland? Mm-hmm. And again, the story is foggy for me. I should have really watched it before we
I mean, the story itself is a foggy story to begin with. Like, that's the whole point of it. Like, it's confusing mm-hmm. and weird.
Yeah, it's a dream, isn't it? Okay, then we get another chorus, and we don't get any changes or twisting here. And then bridge time, Rach.
Bridge.
The production, yet again, cuts out. I reached for you, but you were gone. I knew I had to go back home. You searched the world for something else to make you feel like what we had. And in the end, in Wonderland, we both went mad.
We both went mad.
Yeah, I feel like this person left her, right?
Yeah.
Feels like they left her. That's when she realized she had to go back home. And it was too good to be true, perhaps.
I don't understand. You searched the world for something else to make you feel like what we had. Like, I want her to finish the sentence.
To make you feel like what we had means to make you feel like you did when you were with me.
To find again, like, because now we don't have that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like you only
like the new and exciting, the wonderland of it all. But I, or we, as she says, we both went mad. Because in our relationship. Yeah.
And in this part reminds me of Slut because, I'm sorry. No, it reminds me of Is It Over Now, where she's like, you know, you searched in every model's bed for something greater, baby.
Yes.
You know, like after they left and in Style, when it's like, I heard you've been out and about with some other girl.
Yeah.
Was it really over?
Is it over now? Yeah. Like connecting it. There were flashing lights, Is It Over Now, too, which is the beginning of the song.
Oh, yeah. Did you think I didn't see you? There were flashing lights? Yeah, I didn't make that connection.
Keep my nights out of sight. Yeah. All the whispers of your lips. Oh.
Oh. Wow.
I don't know. There's a lot of connections there. It's just, I think the reason and it definitely could be Harry. I still kind of like this other angle better, but. The reason I also don't want it to be fun about Harry is, like, there's a lot about Harry. Okay, Harry, you got a lot of songs.
I know. We're tired of it.
Let's give someone else a turn.
Let's give someone else a chance. He's kind of stealing the spotlight. I mean, when you're Harry Styles.
I mean, we're about to get an entire album, potentially, about one guy, too, so.
Potentially. We're not certain that the Tortured Poets Department isn't a pop banger about falling in love with Travis Kelce. We're not certain on that, are we?
I thought you were going to say, we're not certain there isn't going to be a song or two about Matt Healy.
We're not certain about that, are we?
We are not. We are not. But we haven't fathomed our predictions of that album yet. And so I want to wait.
Stay tuned. Rachel and I definitely want to sit down and do an entire episode with our predictions and our fathomings before we get Tortured Poets, which means, Rachel, we got to do that here pretty soon. We're going to talk about that. But until then, let's wrap this up, Rachel.
Yeah.
She sings this last chorus like a banger of all bangers. I mean, she belts these lyrics. She sings them with full emotion, fiercely and passionately. And she repeats the chorus twice. And ends it with "In Wonderland."
Wonderland.
To her, I think Wonderland represents a dreamlike place that she was and that maybe she enjoyed being in, but in the end she went mad there. And so this whole thing feels like a lesson that she learned, that Wonderland is a place you can go with somebody, but it's not real. And there's madness there. And so maybe she learned a lesson from that. Like, if it ever feels like she's falling down a rabbit hole with somebody, maybe don't go there. You know, take the right turn, not the wrong turn, and don't fall down that rabbit hole. Yeah. I think she looks back on it fondly. Like, you know, it was, things were never better, but, you know, they were also just never worse. And so a life lesson, I think, was learned.
And I think, I mean, that's what I would love for anyone going through a life, is to have a Wonderland experience. Have something that you got lost in. Pretend that it was going to last forever when you know it's not. But, like, live like it's it part does. Of life. Because that's beautiful and fun and exciting. New and exciting. New and exciting. Sam, we found Wonderland, and you and I, we got lost in it. And I know we want to pretend this podcast could last forever, but alas, we must end. That means it's my turn to pick a song.
And so exciting. This is all new and exciting.
It really is. It is very new and exciting. I searched the world of her discography, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to be surprised where I ended up.
Oh, God, I'm scared. Oh, boy.
Well, I don't have permission to do this, so we're going to see.
Okay.
We have an album coming up, and like we've mentioned, there's a lot of curiosities about what this album might be about and when Taylor wrote these songs. Mm-hmm. I am mm-hmm. curious now to even go back and study her Midnight songs and her even Folklore and Evermore songs. Just to understand, like, the downfall of this relationship a little bit more. And so we could go that direction. But Taylor was also writing music during this time for other people.
Oh, yes. And yes, indeed. Yeah, you can go there. You have my permission.
I feel like we should make sure that we also cover songs that are on other albums. I've started to discover so many more of these other songs that were, like, Taylor has done with other artists. And there's a song that was written during around the same time as You Are Losing Me. Mm-hmm. And that song is called Renegade.
Yes, it was. Rachel, instead of Wonderland, my other choice was to choose Renegade.
Stop it! No. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely, you have my permission, because I wanted to do this, but I wasn't ready for it.
Well,
so,
I'm ready for it.
Great choice, great song.
I am super excited. This is Renegade by Big Red Machine and Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. and this could be interesting.
Great. Love it. Great choice. No, I'm very excited for that. Big Red Machine featuring Taylor Swift's song. All right. Now, Swiggies, it is all fun and games until somebody loses their mind. And we have certainly gone mad on this podcast, and that's what makes it great. So won't you fall down a rabbit hole along with us by following us along on our social media platforms, by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, by tuning into our show notes on our Substack, and by sharing our podcast with all of your friends and family who you think would also get a really fun kick about us analyzing the intricacies of Taylor Swift's relationships that we just don't know much about, but we can speculate on, right, Rachel? And I think we have full permission to do that when Taylor Swift gives us these cryptic songs, right?
Agreed.
So, this one has been fun. Thank you for going down this rabbit hole with me, Rachel. These cocktails were delicious, at least mine was. Your water sounded refreshing. I hope you feel better. I hope you continue to stay hydrated.
Thank you.
And I hope you get a chance to make your wine. Gonna. What was it called?
What Becomes of Curious Wine.
Until then, Rach, clink, clink. Love ya.
Clink, clink.